we hadn't been told which squad we were in, so we were just training all together. And then I got a message on WhatsApp from Tom Dean, which I instantly screenshot and sent to my parents' group chat. I was like, look at me, I've got a message from Tom Dean. And it was saying, yeah, would you like to just meet up for a quick coffee? And so we went, and this was him kind of explaining, look, Dave kind of wants you in your squad. How do you feel about this and stuff like that? And I kind of was, yeah, a bit starstruck at that point. You know, Tom Dean saying, yeah, you want to train with us.
That is so a cool way to find out.
Oh, 100%.
I love that so much more than just an email saying you've got Dave McNulty. Like him actually giving ownership to another swimmer to say, look, Tom, you're a leader within this squad. Why don't you invite someone into our... It's like a family, isn't it? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Dan. And we are back yet again with another swimmer looking to build towards the Olympic trials in what is a few months' time, as this week we are speaking to Matt Ward.
Yeah, second episode of the year, and again, we've got a great episode for you guys. Matt gives us an amazing insight into what it's like living and training at Mount Kelly, his move to the Bath Performance Centre, and his thoughts heading into the Olympic trials in just a few months' time.
Yeah, you will have just heard in the little snippet of this week's episode, he goes into what it's like training with Tom Dean. There's some impressive times that Tom swims, but it's inspiring to see a swimmer like Matt making the move from Mount Kelly, which is a hugely successful school, now to Dave McNulty squad, and we can't wait to hear more. So please welcome onto this week's podcast the former Mount Kelly swimmer and now Bath Performance Centre backstroke and IM specialist, Matthew Ward. Matt, how's the start of the new year been for you? Let's start there. How's it been going?
Yeah, same old, unfortunately. Not much time off, but I guess it's seriously important going into trials and stuff like that to not have any sessions off. But yeah, like I said, just building back into it, and we're going away to Belgium, actually, in a week and 5 days, I think. And so for a bit of a competition then, and then I think things pick up from there. We go to Australia, actually, later on. So
for
training camp. Oh, yeah. Dire need of that at the moment.
Aren't we all? I think I saw on like Instagram today when we're recording this that a few of the like British swimming guys are over in Thailand. So that's like... Oh, dream of places to go for a training camp. You're hitting the jackpot while it's starting to snow here if you're going over to Australia.
Yeah, certainly.
Now, like we said in the intro of this podcast, you're a Mount Kelly alum. So I feel like that's kind of a good place to start. But in our very quick briefing that we had recording this podcast, why don't you tell people where you started before Mount Kelly?
So I actually started competitively swimming in Houston, Texas at the age of 9. I did a lot of sports on the side. Like I played football, well, soccer as they called it there.
I thought you were going to go American football then.
Yeah. Well, and I did do a bit of American football as well. And I did cross country, track and field, all kind of alongside swimming. And then things kind of picked up, I guess, when I was about 11. And that's when I decided to more like, I wouldn't say I was anything special or anything like that, but that's when I just started to more prioritize swimming. Okay. And I think the mindset in US especially is like you choose one sport and you just try and get as good as you are at it. And so it was quite intense. And I remember when I was 14 over the summer, you know, we were doing 2.5 hour sessions in the morning and 2 hour sessions in the evening on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then 2.5 hour sessions on Tuesday, Thursday. And so you can imagine for like a 14-year-old, that's quite intense, you know. And like especially watching all my mates go away on holidays and stuff like that, going to Mexico and I'm there in a pool, you know, going up and down. But it was all worth it in the end because I had a end of summer competition and it went really well and I got some good swims in, and then that's when I moved over to Mount Kelly.
Yeah, what was the reason for going to Mount Kelly of all the places you could have gone to?
Yeah, so around at that time, unfortunately my dad had lost his job. And my dad being English, my mum being Scottish, they were wanting to move back to the UK. And so my dad then got a job with BP in London. And my dad was a boarder at Blundell's school. Okay. And he knew about Mount Kelly when he was a boy and when he was a boarder. And he knew of its kind of like swimming history. And so I went over that summer. We went over and we checked it out and stuff like that. and I pretty much fell in love. I mean, they had that full 50-meter pool, and I was really excited, but it was a huge change. But yeah, that's why I moved to Mount Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, me and Dan have been there for, well, was it a long weekend, Dan? A few days.
I think it was.
A few days.
Yeah, two, 3 days, there. Yeah.
And just, like, you walk in, and without even thinking about the pool itself, like, the grounds, and you see the massive school building, it's like, okay, this is somewhere quite special. And then the facilities there are something else.
Yeah, for sure.
The school gets some incredible results in age group swimming and elite swimming now. They're moving, really making waves. But what makes Mount Kelly just so special as a swimmer who's been there? And I think you were like swim captain as well.
Yeah, so there's so many attributes that just make it a great environment. But like I said, I think one of the big things is just the positive environment made from all the swimmers and all the and the coaches. Mm. You know, the coaches are elite coaches, they're very good, and they help the swimmers out. But it's the relationships we build between each of us and stuff like that when we're in the squads, you know, and it helps drive us on a lot, because we all have this mutual respect for each other, that we know everybody at Mount Kelly deserves to be at that spot, you know, and they're all very talented and stuff like that. And so when you get put in a squad with them and they're all hardworking and you just get through it, and then you've got obviously Emma and Greg and the other coaches that are just there to then aid and help and share their knowledge. Yeah, it does create something special, and it just makes you want to work harder. And then you see the results like at English Nationals and stuff like that, and then winning numerous titles and going on to arena leagues and stuff like that. So there's no surprise of Mount Kelly is as good as they are by just, yeah, the environment they create.
Yeah, I imagine, because everyone's in the same sort of boat. I mean, you all sleep there, you train there, you eat there, you study there, all under one roof. So surely that must be like a massive advantage for you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, rolling out of bed and being 50 meters away from the pool is definitely a huge advantage. But yeah, I mean, just as you said there, like, we're always doing everything together. So you do really build quite a bond, I guess.
I'm interested. The way you spoke about the coaches there is that they aid your swimming journey. So does the dynamic sort of shift as you're going through the years when you're in that sort of environment? Do they put a lot more trust on you, or was that always there from the start?
No, so yeah. So like you said, like when I first joined, it was a lot more like just helping us and just getting us to the point where we're almost not self-sufficient, but we can be more reliant on ourselves and stuff like that. You know, show up to the pool in that correct mindset, giving it 110%, you know, and then they give us the sets and they give us their advice. But, you know, it's within yourself to do what you want to do and follow your dreams.
Yeah, I think it's quite useful, because when we were there, we noticed that one swimmer had some studying to do, for example, so they couldn't swim that evening or that morning. And so they were able to come in almost any time, because the pool is just always free. Mm. And they could do a set, and there's always a coach available, because I think the coach's office is literally just outside the pool as well. So I think that kind of helps as well, that you don't have to go and do regulated sessions, let's say Monday at that morning and evening. You can actually do it whenever you fancy, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, and I guess everybody there wants to get better, you know, and they want to do sessions and stuff like that. So if, you know, I mean, taking A-levels last year, I know that I had to do revision lessons, and sometimes there'd be that, I'd try to find that balance between swimming and doing my A-levels. And so I know that the coaches were like, look, okay, if you miss one session, make it up and stuff like that. And it was the accountability they gave on yourself to go and go to the pool and do the session and contact the coaches and be responsible for your schedule.
Yeah, it's that elite swimmer mindset that I think most swimmers are thought to have like developed when they get to somewhere like Bath, and we'll speak about your journey at Bath soon, or when they go off to university and suddenly you place this responsibility on you. It's almost like a university setup, like that sort of mindset with what's going on there. Before we speak about Bath though, let's talk about how much racing you did last summer. Because you ended your junior career racing a lot. It was a lot. So European Juniors, Youth Commonwealth Games, what were those experiences like for you?
Yeah, so I knew I did have quite a busy summer ahead of me. And so it was quite nice to get A-levels done and dusted out the way. Mm. So Serbia was first up in July. And I think that was just more the I took it kind of like a step at a time, so just one meet. And so the big focus was just going in there and medaling. That's kind of just all I had in my mind. You know, I was just going to race it as hard as I could and as tough as I could. And I knew that there was going to be very strong competition there. And so I was just going to give it my best shot and not put too much pressure on myself, but make sure that I am giving myself enough pressure to make sure that I'm not getting lazy and stuff like that. But yeah, so went out there. It was hot. It was a different climate, you know, and the pool was a bit different. And so we just had to make it work and adapt. And the coaches there, everybody was so professional. And so, yeah, it just made for a very great, conducive environment to just swim your best, I guess.
And does the sheer volume of racing, has that actually helped you in your career going forwards after that last year?
I definitely, it won't have hurt me. And I think, yeah, it's given me good experience to do, just do back-to-back competitions. Because as soon as I got back from European Juniors, I was then at a training camp in Mallorca. So the next day, flew out to Mallorca and did a training camp with Mount Kelly. And unfortunately, I had to grind out a bit more meters than everybody because they were all tapering for Summer Nationals. And so I went to Summer Nationals and participated in relays for Mount Kelly. And I did the individual 53, but that was just a bit more fun. And then, yeah, it was, you know, head down for a week and a half so to go out to Trinidad.
I mean, that's an experience as a young swimmer. Go race in the Caribbean. There's plenty of swimmers going to the Olympics next summer who won't have had that experience.
100%.
What was that like?
Yeah, so it was a little bit later on in the summer, and I've never done a competition this late. And, you know, we started the season previously, so it'd been already like a full year season. So it was like dragging on my mind a little bit, but it was kind of just like the mindset I had was it's one last push, so let's go for it. And it was a little bit hectic at first. I'm pretty sure everybody will admit that was on the swimming. Buses wouldn't show up and buses were late.
All right, okay.
Yeah, and so the hotel was 50 minutes away from the pool. And so two days before the competition, we had to, the buses didn't show after we'd been waiting for an hour and a half. So we had to just train in the hotel pool, which wasn't ideal. But we made it work, and I guess Scotland had a small group of people, and we started to get quite close, and so we made a good time out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then competition started, and the night before we had agreed, just because the buses were so unreliable, that we were actually just going to stay at the pool the whole day.
Yeah.
So we finished racing at about 10 o'clock. So we would get there about, I think, 8:30 in the morning, and then racing would finish at about 10:30 or 11. And then racing finals wouldn't start till about 5 p.m. So it was quite a lot of gap in this
pool.
That's a long way. Yeah. So we brought a suitcase with loads of duvets and blankets and pillows and stuff. And so in the cold room, we just kind of set up our own little nest and tried to get some sleep and, yeah, just tried to relax and go again for finals.
I'm going to rewind a little bit here. Going back to your Houston days, I know you were younger, but do you sort of miss the training out in America because of the weather and all that sort of stuff?
Ooh, do I miss it? When I was younger, I just remember it being really intense. The weather was definitely a lot better in Houston than it was out here. But funnily enough, we didn't actually do any outdoor training. It was just indoor.
Oh.
But the facilities they had were unbelievable. I mean, we would train around different pools in we'd train at three different pools at my club, and one was a 50-meter pool and then two 25-yard pools. And, I mean, they were all just so nice. And, you know, I think that's one thing that maybe the UK misses. They just lack the amount of pools and the funding for those pools. I mean, one of the state schools, so, yeah, public school out there, state school here, it had a 50-meter long course pool. And, like, you don't get that here,
that's
you know?
Unheard of.
Exactly. And it was, like, a seriously nice pool. Well, it wasn't just like some rubbish pool that they'd put together. So yeah, I think that was one of the big, like, maybe culture shocks for me, I guess, coming from Houston. I was like spoiled for pools almost. And then you come here and like I said, Mount Kelly has a great pool, and then you've got Millfield that has a great pool, and I know Ellesmere has a pool and stuff like that, and Repton, but that's kind of like the main places that have pools for like clubs. And then, so yeah, I guess it was just a bit of a shock for me, I guess.
So you've never thought about, I mean, we'll get onto your Bath move now, but you've never thought about going to America instead of staying in this country?
There was, for a quick minute, of me thinking about going to America. A couple of universities had got in contact with me, and I was thinking about it, but I weighed up the choices. You know, I would lose my funding if I went out to US, and, you know, I'd been then given like this offer to go to Bath Performance Center, and I mean, you can't get a more talented squad, you know, in the depth that they have. Like in my squad, and I don't want to go too much into detail because I know you're going to ask about it, but in the squad of seven that I'm in, three of them are Olympians, and one of them's double Olympic champion, and the other one's an Olympic champion. So, like, you can't beat that. And so, yeah.
Let's go on to it then. Let's go to Bath. Like, you're in the squad of Dave McNulty. A lot of people would, like, feel confidence from the track record that he's got within swimming. There's a massive amount of list of medals, international, Olympics, that he's got. Is there any pressure and intimidation that comes with moving into this guy's squad?
Yeah, so we were doing a bit of a build week. We were doing a build phase for 4 weeks with the squad, and we were all training together. And there was three of us that joined the Bath Performance Centre, me, Robbie, and four of us, including Jacob Whittle and Jack Scarry. And so we hadn't been told which squad we were in. So we were just training all together. And then I got a message on WhatsApp from Tom Dean, which I instantly screenshot and sent to my parents' group chat. I was like, look at me, I've got a message from Tom Dean. And it was saying, yeah, would you like to just meet up for a quick coffee? And so we went, and this was him kind of explaining, look, Dave kind of wants you in your squad. How do you feel about this and stuff like that? And I kind of was, yeah, a bit starstruck at that point, you know, Tom Dean saying, yeah, you want to train with us.
That is so a cool way to find out.
Oh, 100%.
I love that so much more than just an email saying you've got Dave McNulty. Like him actually giving ownership to another swimmer to say, look, Tom, you're a leader within this squad. Why don't you invite someone into our... It's like a family, isn't it, essentially?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And so there definitely was... I wasn't maybe intimidated, but I was definitely a bit nervous because I was like, these people have achieved so much in the sport and, you know, I want to be as successful as they are. And, you know, they're all just so quick and... so talented. And so when I did my first session with them, we had our heart rate monitors on, and I was constantly higher than what I was supposed to be, just because I was wanting to make sure that, you know, Dave thought I was actually worth it and stuff like that. And I wasn't I wasn't giving him a false lead or anything. So but they were all so supportive when I joined, you know. Like, one of the things I say, like, to my parents is, like, you wouldn't think they're as good as they are. You know, they're just so humble and stuff. They never bring up their achievements. And they celebrate my achievements, even though they're fairly minor in comparison to theirs. So, like I said, they welcomed me, and they, you know, we had good fun from, like, pretty much the get-go, and they're all so nice. And, I mean, the others are also very, very nice, but I guess it was just more speaking about going into Dave's squad, so.
Yeah, so it sounds like the transition as a whole was relatively smooth then.
Yeah, very. So I did train with them, like, for a couple sessions, like, pretty much this time last year, and Greg, my coach at Kelly, he came up with me, and so it was kind of just to get to know a couple of the guys. And I did know Brody and Cam from racing them and stuff like that, so that definitely did make it a bit easier. But yeah, the transition has been so smooth, and I've also got to give a lot of credit to Dave and stuff, because you know, he allowed me to take a bit of a longer weekend and stuff like that at home, just to help ease it, because at first I wouldn't say I was struggling, but it was just a lot of change, you know. Even though I was at boarding school, I was now on my own. I had to cook for myself and wash for myself, etc., and get myself to and from training on my own. So yeah, he recognized that and just let me go home, and so he significantly has helped me.
It's a bit
feel
of a
more comfortable.
Yeah, he's a bit of a mastermind, and one day we'll get him on here, I'm sure. Yeah. Eventually, if well,
hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure he'll open a laptop to speak to us, but I have to be in person.
I mean, you've already spoken about how many amazing swimmers are at Bath, and there's some decent backstrokers there as well.
A lot.
Which will obviously help you in the future if we head towards the Olympics and trials and stuff like that. What's it like to train with those guys day in, day out?
To be honest, I still kind of walk on poolside and just... get not freaked out, but I get quite happy that, oh my God, I'm actually training with these guys. Because these are the people that you look up into the sport. And so when you start to train with them, you're like, wow, I've actually kind of made it. And so it's a self-achievement in itself. So yeah, but yeah, 100%. I mean, you get in and like I'll be doing IM sets with Tom Dean and I'll get absolutely smoked. And that's just kind of the things that just, and that just makes me want more, makes me hungry. You know, I'm like, I want to catch up. And, you know, it's good to sometimes every now and then see that I'm actually a little bit closer than I was maybe a couple of months ago.
When you say getting smoked by Tom Dean, give us some insight. How much is getting smoked?
So we did a set, what was it, last... it was a couple Saturdays ago, and it was 12.50s max, and so me and him were doing three of each stroke off of 6 minutes. The fly was, okay, 0.6 of a second, which wasn't me getting smoked. I beat him on the backstroke, I'll have that.
I hope so.
But the breaststroke, he was beating me by 3 seconds.
He was going over 50.
Yeah, he was going 28 points from a dive. I was going 31s. And so okay. that's...
We've been banging on this podcast for a while about his breaststrokes coming on. That's proof of that, I suppose. 28s, that's pretty good.
He used to be a breaststroker when he was younger. I mean, I think he was European junior medalist in one of the breaststrokes, in the 200 breaststroke, I think, or something like that, 100 breaststroke. But, I mean, if it's like 200s freestyle or something like it was tonight, or no, 100 freestyle tonight, he was going 53 points from a push, 100 free for... Yeah, across the whole rounds.
It's not bad. So you can only get better training with someone like that.
Exactly. And that's just the mindset I kind of have.
It can only fuel you with more motivation. Yeah. I mean, I suppose it goes kind of one of two ways. You either get a massive build-up of motivation or you kind of go right down in something and, God, I'm just not good enough. I'm not cut for this. But obviously you've got the mindset to try and drive and get better, I assume.
Yeah. And so there has been a couple of times that we've done a couple of sessions and I have been getting beat by quite a bit. I've been having a bit of an off session and I guess maybe they were having a bit of a better session, like Cam and Birdie, and I was getting beat by quite a bit and I was getting maybe a little bit demoralized. And so I think sometimes there is that time where I'm like, maybe I'm not actually good enough. But then you got to remember that like everybody's, and Dave says this a lot, everybody's on their own little journeys and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes you have a great session and you'll knock out amazing times. And then other times, you know, you'll be feeling a bit worse than others. So I think it's just to keep that in the back of your mind that actually everybody's a little bit different and everybody responds a bit differently. So you just got to keep fighting and yeah, get on with it.
Talking of your own little journey, then this year, the most important thing is going to be some times in April that you need to hit. The nomination standards for the Olympics, do you have a look at them as an elite swimmer? Do you pay much attention to them?
Yeah, so I know them off by, off the top of my head. So, but I think it's in Britain right now with backstroke, it's going to take more than the nomination times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you've already got Jonathan Adam and Ollie Morgan quicker than the 100 back. The 100 back's 53.68, but then their times are 53 lows. So, you already know that that's the baseline, that's the minimum, you know. So even if I get the consideration time, the nomination time, it's going to be highly unlikely that I'll go. So to be honest, in my head, I'm just like, and Dave, again, has said this to me, you know, nobody expects much from me. You know, they don't expect me to win champs. They don't expect me to be on the Olympic team. So I can kind of go in with this underdog kind of mindset. Like there's no pressure on me. Just go and race it. And, you know, you never know what can happen. You know, I could maybe have the race of my life and, you know, maybe they could have not the race of their life and it gives me an opportunity.
So what are your expectations then if you've got this underdog mentality?
Honestly, just race as hard as I can. Training's been going great and I've been seeing big improvements like I did at Edinburgh short course. So just not holding myself back and just going to go for it and see what I can do and see what I can place. You know, I'm not placing a limit on what I'm expecting.
What's your target events over the next, 3-4 months? Because I know you've just talked about the times in the 100 back. You're 2 back strong. You're 2 IMs strong as well. And I think you're starting to make moves in the 2-3 at Scottish short course as well. So which event is like one circled that you really want to make the most improvements on this year?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a tough question because there's been a lot of thought around that between me and Dave, you know, because at trials, the 200 free and 200 back are on the same day. And there was a huge step up in my 200 free, and I haven't really been fully focusing on that. So that's another discussion for me and Dave to have around two back and two free. Now, I think it will be I go down the route of two back because I've been doing a lot more two back training at the moment. And realistically, 200 free at the moment is stacked in Britain.
Yep.
And so to even try and get on the relay, you're looking at like a 146, which.
That's fast.
So. Yeah, and again, for like 200 IM, if you think of it in terms of Olympic standards, you've got Duncan and Tom Dean, world number two and three in that event. So it's pretty blocked off. But if there was one thing I was going for in the 2 IM, it's Tom Dean's 18-year-old British record.
Okay.
So that's one of the goals going forward. And then the 100, yeah, I don't know. The 100 and 200 back, there's. The 200 backs are maybe a little bit more open than the 100 back. You know, you've got quite a few 157s, and then I'm on 159 low. So I think if there was one event going for, that's probably going to be the event we're going to choose to just fully focus on, but also the 100 back. Because, I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. If you train 200 back, you'll probably have a pretty strong 100 back. So.
And then a medley relay comes into effect as well because of the 100 as well, so you can't really disregard it at all.
No, exactly. Because then now that's top two instead of just, as the nomination policy says, just top one of each event. So,
Absolutely. Something we want to do on this podcast leading into trials is to make people listening, especially if they've got this far in the podcast, they're going to be interested in the Matt Ward journey, is to make people aware of like your build up going into trials. So where can people find you racing over the next few months?
So yeah, like I said, we're going to Belgium in a week and a half, but I think that's, to be honest, the only real competition we're going to be doing before going into trials. Because, like I said, we're going to be out in Australia for 4 weeks for a training camp. So I think we'll be doing maybe a competition, a kind of like a competition out in Australia, but I don't think it's going to be an official one. It's more of just like a put together meet just to see kind of where we're at. So yeah, I don't think there's any actual competitions lined up for us before trials.
Okay, that's interesting because I know a lot hit the Edinburgh International usually in the lead up on that sort
So,
of weekend, yeah.
yeah, and so we're away in Australia at that point, which is why we're doing the Flanders meet in Belgium. Because normally, yeah, they weren't expecting to go to Doha for the relay,
Yep.
but unfortunately, that unfortunate event. So basically, Australia swim camps had to be in push
Okay.
backwards a little bit. So normally, the plan was to go out in like a couple of weeks to Australia, and then we would do the Edinburgh International. But now we kind of had to flip things. So we're going to do the Flanders meet in Belgium. Then we're going to go to Australia. And then we're going to bounce onto our taper and then go into trials.
Nice.
And final question, really. What is your mindset going into trials then? Are you confident? Are you sort of nervous? Itching to go? What's the mindset?
I mean, I am excited because I know that, like you said, Dave is a mastermind, and you know, also training with the guys that I've been training with, it's definitely going to help me. So I am excited to kind of just see what I can do. But there has been times that I've started to think about it. I'm like, April trials is 12 weeks away. That's
Yeah, it's quite
and
close.
so yeah. So there are times that I start to get a little bit nervous, but and I will start to get more nervous going in, and but I'm more excited than anything.
Nice. Matt, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. We do finish with some quick fire questions, though. So we will rattle through these. So, what's your favorite event in swimming?
200 IM.
Who's your swimming idol?
Caleb Dressel.
Like it. What's your proudest moment in swimming so far?
Three-time individual European junior medalist.
What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
Oh, there's so many, but. Especially the ones we've been doing in Bath National Centre. But I think one that, when I was at Kelly, gave me the most nightmares was we did 12 100s, two at best average, one easy, into six 200s, two at best average, one easy, back into 12 100s. 100s to a best average one easy. And I had to do it all backstroke.
Oh.
there's you won't know this, but there's clubs who listen to this and that's their session this Sunday. Yeah, I know.
You can thank them later.
And final question then, to get to know you away from a swimming pool. All of this has been about in a swimming pool. If you were to go on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, celebrities, anyone you want. Who would you take with you?
Oh. See, if I don't say my parents and my family, they're going to get annoyed. That is if they listen to the podcast.
If you want to have two cars, we'll let you have two different cars.
No, I think... if I would have two different cars, I'd choose one with the family, because that would be nice, because we haven't been on holiday together for a while, a proper holiday for a while. And then if I was to choose friends, I'd just choose a couple Matt Kelly friends and a friend back in the US.
Nice. Well, Matt, best of luck over the next few months. Sounds like you've got some pretty solid training coming up. Enjoy the Australia sun. We'll be very jealous. And best of luck heading into Olympic trials in London.
Thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me onto the podcast.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for the insight into Bath and what Dave's like and what it's like to be training partners with Tom Dean. There's not many people that can say that, you know. So best of luck for trials, because it's going to be a cracker, I feel.
Dan, another brilliant episode in the books as we head towards Olympic trials. Really interesting actually to hear from a swimmer who's approaching it with no pressure, no expectations really, given that he's kind of very aware of the strength and depth in the events that he's racing. But there's a reason we've invited him onto this podcast. I don't think we're quite looking past him potentially making the team, especially with the backstroke times being entirely reachable for him.
Yeah, I think he's quite aware of everything at the moment, because he's obviously gone to Bath, and he said on the podcast that he's training with Olympic swimmers, Olympic gold medalists as well. And he's kind of like almost out of place, like he can't really kind of believe where he is. But he absolutely deserves to be there. And we highlighted him, when did we highlight him? Like a year, maybe even 2 years ago, something like that. So he's in the right place, and hopefully it's just a matter of time before he finds himself on the British team. And it could be this summer.
Do you know, I found it really interesting that, like, he's been at this Mount Kelly juggernaut. We call it a juggernaut on here a lot, because it is at the Edge Group programs. It performs so well at a national level. But to see that it is still a step up for a swimmer like that when he goes to Bath, because everyone, like, will think that Kelly is everything's given to you. You got everything in the world that you could ever dream of there. But actually, no, like, Matt's still gone to these places and gone, blimey, this is tough. Like, he's gone to Bath.
There's levels.
Got a lot more room to improve, is what I'm trying to say. Like, I think the misconception is you go to Kelly, you're done improving. Nope. I feel like he's definitely got so much more to prove.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, you go from Mount Kelly when you're, let's say, 18, if you stay there the whole time, and then you go in over to Bath or Loughborough, and you go and train with Adam or Tom, who are Olympic gold medalists, like the best on the planet.
That's the step up, isn't it?
There's a bit of a step up there, don't you think? Yeah. So there are levels to it, and he's now experiencing what it's like to train with these guys, because we need to go to Bath, by the way, but Tom Dean, I've heard, is an absolute beast in training. So it's the fact that he's going 28 points on breaststroke from doing that session that Matt was saying. Damn, that's quick. That is really fast. But there are definitely levels in swimming.
Yeah, if we can get down to Bath anytime soon, we will be there. 100%. Okay, so next week on the podcast then, we are continuing ramping up our coverage towards the Olympic trials. We're heading up to Scotland to speak to a swimmer there who's making waves, especially over the recent short course season. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on that one on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. And me and Dan will see you all in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.